the sensitivity as to what it's putting out at this time.
The tattoo is not really recognized as such.
I actually opened my eyes and I saw myself in the midst of these extraterrestrials.
Hot topics. Fascinating guests. Your calls and emails. Totally interactive radio. Live from Ottawa, Canada, the nation's capital. This is ICAST, the intelligent radio broadcast on NMB Live. Food for your brain, fun for your soul. So stop surfing and start listening. Intelligent Radio is now on the air. Here is your host, Norman Michael Burkett.
Well, good Sunday night, and welcome to the January 26th edition of ICAST, the intelligent radio broadcast here on NMB Live. Commercial-free, but certainly not free of great talk and good music. This is undoubtedly the most intelligent show on the internet, folks, and we guarantee that you will learn something tonight if you stay with us. And we've got a great show for you. Over the next 2 hours, we're bringing you a very special guest this evening. He is Jay Caliendo. And he will be explaining what it's like to be one of the world's top medical intuitives. And Jay will be joining us live from Phoenix, Arizona in just a minute. And, of course, that is by telephone. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time this evening, we welcome you to the show. And we encourage you to complete our listener demographic survey so we know where you're listening from. You don't need to leave your name or email address either, so it's quick and painless. And you can do that on our website at www.nmblive.com. Now, just before I introduce Jay Caliendo to all of you, a quick reminder about next week's show. That Sunday, February 2nd on ICAST, my special guest will be Alan McDonald from Ottawa, Canada. Alan is a good friend of mine, as well as an amateur military historian, freelance writer, and theater actor. Alan is also a Canadian and an American citizen, and we will be discussing the current military situation from many different viewpoints next Sunday, February 2nd on this very program. And don't forget to check out the NMB Live members area. It is free for the next 5 days only. You can listen to past interviews in their entirety or download them and listen when you want. That's the members area at www.nmblive.com. Okay, up next, we delve into the world of a medical intuitive with our guest, Jay Caliendo. That said, we'll return after this brief musical break. Stay with us. Okay, a little bit more about my guest tonight. Jay Caliendo is a medical intuitive and a sergeant with the Phoenix, Arizona Police Department. Jay is able to detect and or diagnose an illness within the human body simply by evaluating their energy. He is internationally recognized and is one of the few in the world who assist physicians in diagnosing some of their most difficult patients. And he is the only medical intuitive to have been published in a medical journal. Now, Jay's mainstream approach has given him the privilege to have worked in hospitals and clinics. And Jay's book, The Way I See It, Health Readings from the Man with X-Ray Vision, is the first of its kind since the great Edgar Cayce, featuring excerpts of over 800-plus of his personal readings. Now, his recognition has earned him several radio and TV local and national interviews. He has been interviewed by Hollywood actor Dan Aykroyd, radio and TV actor Ryan Seacrest, as well as U.S. popular radio talk show Coast to Coast AM. And with that, I would like to welcome Jay Caliendo to the program. Welcome, Jay.
Good evening, sir.
How you doing tonight?
Very well. How are you?
I'm terrific. It's cold up here. It must be very, very hot where you are.
It is. We're setting records down here in Phoenix. It's about 15 degrees hotter than it should be.
Uh-huh. So just so I can taunt people here in this country, what is your temperature?
Oh, we have a miserable 75 degrees around here right now.
Okay. There you go.
It's going to reach 80 degrees here this week, but we don't welcome it as much as beautiful as it might sound. It's a little warm for us this time of year. We like a little bit of that change in weather, you know.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat, I imagine.
It is a dry heat. Yep, desert.
This is what I've heard. Jay, first and foremost, what is a medical intuitive? If you give us kind of your definition of that.
A medical intuitive is someone who has the, and I'm almost going to give you the Webster definition here, of has the immediate knowledge of knowing something without any reasoning or logic behind it. How would you like to be hung with that title? But that's basically it. It's pretty accurate, really. I have the ability to, I read health. I'm strictly in the health field, which can be emotional, psychological, or physical. And I don't consider myself a psychic. I don't even see myself as a psychic. I'm more of an intuitive. And what that means to me is that I have this ability to just see illnesses in people and what's going on within them in some type of a health way without having any medical training at all. I'm not a physician. I do work with them, as you stated, but I have no medical background at all. I'm just able to assist by doing it my way.
Wow. And this is something that I understand you can do with people, of course, in person, but you can also do it over the phone and so on.
Yes. In fact, most of my readings are done by phone. I read all over the United States and in about six other countries. Canada is a big country for me. I've done a lot of readings up your way. And how I'm able to do this by phone, I really don't know, except that the closest I can come to explaining it would be that I read energy. That's really what I'm looking at, is someone's energy. And I use the analogy of an egg, where you have your shell would be the spiritual side of you or your soul. And when we're born, we all take on a soul or a spirit. And then the yolk moving within that shell would be your energy that moves within your spirit.
Right, right.
And I just see that. It's just a God-given gift to me.
Wow. How and when did you realize that you had this ability?
It feels like 100 years ago. It was about 30 years ago.
Okay.
I was going to school at a university up north here in Flagstaff, Arizona. And as a young man, I was 21, 22 years old. There was a void in my life. My background was kind of rough. You know, I mean, I used to work in the bars, and I was like a bouncer. I'm not a big man, but back then I was a weightlifter, a competitive weightlifter, and drank my cold beer and used to work in the bars, and that was kind of my background. And then, but there was just something empty about me, and I was convinced to try going to church, and so I did, and became a Christian. Shortly after becoming a Christian, I followed that up with a public baptism, which was, that's a story in itself. But I did it, and it was tough for me. I was, a young guy, macho, tough, you know. And it just wasn't something that would match my character.
Right, right.
But I did that public baptism, and it was right after that baptism that I could see these images. I could see this electrifying energy type of an image in people, just energy moving within people.
Now, is this something similar to an aura, what some people might see auras?
I've not seen auras, so I don't know if I can make that comparison.
Okay.
I don't see colors. Auras are generally described as in color. I see what I describe as a black and white X-ray that we've all been very familiar with looking at from one time to another. Generally, chiropractors are very common in showing you the X-rays, and that's what I see. It's a black and white negative, and only it's moving, and the speeds can vary depending on what I think is wrong with you, depending on what I'm looking at. In illness-wise, the shades of black and white can be dark or light. They can be kind of a grayish area, and then they can be moving or they can be stagnant. And by looking at your spiritual side of you, that's where you carry your biography. That's where all your history is at, whether you're one day old or you're 100 years old. And I quickly thumb through that biography like flipping through pages of a book while I'm looking at your moving, while I'm looking at your energy moving. And I am very quick to be able to tell you what I think's wrong with you.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you must have been shocked, though, the very first time you saw this when looking at somebody.
Shocked probably. I was puzzled. I didn't realize what I was looking at. And I would ask people, what is that I see moving in those people? And they looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
I probably am. I don't know. But that's where I quickly determined that I was seeing things that people had not been seeing and aren't seeing. And then I realized, well, this is obviously a gift from God. And the reason why I knew that was because it was quickly after the baptism. But it also felt very good. It's a painless experience for me. It also just feels good to see this in people and to be able to help them. And it almost feels like it's just a God blessing kind of a thing to me every time I do it. And God has directed me for 30 years in this work. Years ago, no one even heard of a medical intuitive. There was no such term, you know.
Right.
And
right.
It has just evolved over the years, and I can't seem to get away from it, and you have to remember, as a very young man, there was times when I just as soon as stepped away from it. It has no real direct value for me. I don't read myself. I don't read my family. I think there's too much emotion there. I don't want to cut through the emotion to read my family no more than a physician wants to operate on their child, you know.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have any direct benefit for me, and when you fall under criticism and skeptics and people wondering, are you for real, and all this stuff, well, you know, you just think, hey, it's not worth it. I'll just step away from it. And God's never allowed me to do that. I've always done readings, and I've always said yes instead of no, and believe it or not, he's protected me very well. I've had very few people make fun of me. If they do, it's behind my back. And I'm very busy in what I do. I'm in a lot of demand, and I don't say that in any arrogant way at all. I say that because God has absolutely blessed this. I'm very busy. I read people every day.
Wow. Well, good for you, Jay. That's good to hear. You've obviously followed a path that you were led to, which is great. I want to just go back very quickly. You said something about cutting through the emotion to read family. So there are then some things that sometimes it's a little bit harder to read people. Is that stuff in the way?
Well, a good question. I've been asked that before. No, reading people is very easy for me to do. I've not gone to school for this. I have not tried to develop it. I haven't meditated. I haven't tried to massage this into anything that it's not. It's just there. It's always been there, and I think only a gift is like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't teach it. I don't think it can be taught. You either have it or you don't. It's not a big deal to have. I mean, a lot of people have told me right to my face that they're envy of what I do, and I maybe I'm too close to the fence, and I don't understand that. But it's just not that big a deal. It's something that's been given to me that I treat with as much integrity as I can, and try and help as many people as I can. And it's very tiring to do a reading. I can mentally, I have to focus very hard, and it can mentally tire me out. But to answer your question, if you've got a pulse, I can read you. I've just never had a problem. If you've been one day old, or if you're in a coma, or if you're a stroke patient, you can be my next door neighbor, or you can be a million miles away. It really doesn't matter.
Wow.
Yeah. The only buffer would be a family. There's just, you know, just too much emotion. I don't want to read my children or my wife, you know, people like that.
Right. Okay, so that's more of a for your own sake, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. It's just a preference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, when you first discovered this, did you ever question the the accuracy of what you were saying or what you were seeing in people, or did you somehow know, yes, what I'm seeing is right?
What a great question. You know, it's difficult to express this as an answer, but when I see something in someone, it is as, there's no doubt in my mind, really. It's like if you were to say, well, there's a fan sitting in the corner of my room, and I don't see the fan, but you do. You know the fan's there. You put it there or whatever. I mean, it's hard to convince you that you're not seeing something. It almost reminds me of a ghost. When I hear ghost stories, mm-hmm. people say, well, I saw a ghost in my room, you know, or someone touched me on the back of my head. And there's no way you're going to convince that person that that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, they have a hard time convincing you that it happened, but there's no way they have any doubt. And that when I do a reading, when I see images in people, it's pretty crystal clear to me.
Just like that. It's
very little
yeah.
doubt there.
Okay.
I do like people to back up everything I say. Find a way to validate it. And I am very mainstream. I'm not out there, as the term could be used loosely, but very mainstream. And I think that's what's made me popular with physicians, is that I'm not afraid to work with them shoulder to shoulder. And I think the reason why is because I understand my limitations. You know, I mean, I'm good at what I do, but, you know, I haven't cured cancer either. So, you know, I understand my limitations, and I try to assist doctors rather than work against them. We try and complement each other.
Right.
And knowing where I belong and knowing where they belong, they don't try and cross over into my world, and I'm not crossing over into theirs. And so I'm good at what I do, but I do like to have those individuals that I read validate what I'm saying. Just don't take my word for it. Don't run down to the first, you know, pharmacy and start taking, vitamin E or something because I said so. Let's have a hair analysis or a urine analysis. Let's validate whether or not you're a low in vitamin E or vitamin C or whatever I might say. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a reading I think it was yesterday, on a lady who she had a liver disorder, and I said that, you know, that I didn't think she should avoid alcohol, and it turned out that she drank quite a bit. In fact, she was an alcoholic, and her liver just had a disorder about it. And now, I'm convinced, but that doesn't mean she is. And so I think I referred her to a physician. You know, let's go have your blood count taken, on your liver count taken. Let's see where you sit with that, you know, and see a physician.
Wow. Jay, how many, obviously there's not a lot of people like you in the world. I imagine it's more rare than not. How many people do you think are intuitive to the degree that you are? Or is that a really, really hard question?
It is a difficult question because I try to avoid answers that I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I honestly don't know how many intuitives are out there. I have met a few. I don't know how good they are. A lot of them come with different titles. They'll say, well, I'm a medical intuitive, and I'm also a hypnosis, and I also do energy work, and I do, lymphatic massage as well. And they cover a lot of areas. I don't. I specialize in one specific area. I don't treat. I don't do any energy work. I don't work on people. I like to do what I feel I do best. That is detect and diagnose, and then refer you out to someone who does the work much better than I could.
Wow. And you have specific doctors that you work with that you refer to?
I do have some physicians that I work with. Some are MDs, some are NDs, naturopathic physicians.
Yeah.
Several different types of practitioners, anything from acupuncturist to reflexologist, cranial massage. I mean, you name it, I'll do it. But again, like I say, I'm not afraid to be mainstream. I'm not afraid to tell you that, you know, I think you need to go have a, you know, your liver checked, or you need to have an X-ray of your lungs or whatever. And then also I have this ability, like I say, you know, like I tried to explain, I can do a lot more than I can explain. But I have the ability to also tell you the best way for you to get better. And I do that on an individual basis. For example, the medical field would, if you were diabetic, they would say, well, here's the cure for you because you're diabetic. You have high blood pressure. Here's the cure for you because you have high blood pressure. That's the scientific medical approach.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. I don't have their training or their knowledge. I look at you as a whole. I look at your energy, and I'll say, well, as an individual, here's how I would treat your high blood pressure if I was you by looking at your spiritual energy. This is the best way your body will respond and the quickest way for you to get better. And that may be traditional medication. You might have to take blood pressure medication, or it might be something as simple as eliminating something in your diet, or stress, or whatever it might be.
Right. Jay, I've been going through your book, by the way I see it, Health Readings from the Man with X-Ray Vision. Wonderful book, and just going through all of the different things that you've diagnosed. And one of the things I've noticed, there seems to be a lot of reference to eating for your blood type, which is something that I hadn't heard of before.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain a little bit about that and why that might be an effective thing?
Well, again, that doesn't fit for that's not for everyone.
Okay.
In those readings that you've seen in my book that I have suggested that to those individuals, you'll see that sometimes I'll even put a percentage in there that, you know, this eating according to your blood type would work for you 40%, increase your health 40%, or 100%, or whatever. But what it is a doctor wrote that book, Dr. D'Adamo. It's an excellent book, and he talks about, he kind of puts blood and blood types in a very simplistic form. He talks about four basic blood types, O, A, B, and AB, and not negative and positive, just those four types of bloods.
Okay.
And he talks how it's all evolved, through generation after generation. And O blood simply stands for old. It's the oldest blood in existence. It's the Adam and Eve blood. And he talks about how certain foods and certain beverages, and it makes no difference what category you want to talk about. You could talk about, breads, or you could talk about meats or poultry or anything. He also talks about people's lifestyles, how certain music, certain exercise, some people should do weight-bearing exercises, other people should do more of a cardiovascular.
Right.
He talks about how O blood, for example, is good for weightlifting, weight-bearing exercises. A blood would be better for cardiovascular. And he goes through this whole thing, and it's an interesting book to read. And as I read people's energy, I could see what would benefit them, and I would tell them that for you this would work. And it might be just a little area, of certain vegetables I might talk to them about, that the problem that they're having is that the vegetables they're eating are not compatible with their blood. And if you digest something that's not compatible for you, it can make your blood toxic. And if your blood remains toxic too long, it can cause a lot of illnesses, a lot of problems, a lot of disorders.
Wow, so there's something major to this then, yeah.
There is, Norm, but with certain people. Now, the physician that wrote that book believes that is a fix-all for everyone.
Okay.
And that's what doctors do. See, that's what the medical field does. They find a cure, and they think it's going to help everyone. Well, it doesn't. I'm convinced it doesn't. In the thousands of readings that I have done on people, I am very convinced that not one pill fix all.
Yeah.
It is a lot of reasons why you became sick, and there's a lot of different approaches to why you could get better, and we're not all the same. We're as unique with each other as our fingerprint. So there are no two fingerprints, and there are no two spirits that are the same, therefore there's no two energies that are the same. And so we're also very different. There's a common denominator. We're humans. And that's why one human could give another human the flu, for example, or you might not be able to give it to an animal. So there is that common denominator. But for the most part, there's a lot of reasons why how we could get better, and not one fixes for all. So that book is not for everyone.
Right, okay.
Not in my opinion, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and fair enough, because that's, again, that's why it's good to have these discussions, because it does help to sort of, get that into the right perspective, that not there is no such most likely one fix for everything. Jay, we are going to be doing a live reading here on the show, as we discussed before. Now, it's my wife, and you have never met her.
Are you wanting to do it now?
No, we're going to take a break first.
Oh, okay.
You'll have about 5 or 6 minutes. We'll take a short musical break, and then I'll bring her in the studio. And but just to say again that you've never met her, you don't really know. I don't think I've told you anything about her. I'm not sure.
I don't think you've even told me her name.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll do all of that then after the break. How's that?
We sure will. That's fine.
Terrific. And what I'm going to do right now, Jay, is I'm going to put you back into the what I call the electronic green room, where you're going to be able to hear everything that's going on. And what we're going to do right now is we are going to take a very short musical break, give you folks at home a chance to sort of get up, stretch your legs, go get yourself a coffee or something if you need one. And when we come back, a live reading with my wife, done by Jay Caliendo. Stick with us. It's going to be a fascinating segment. Stay right where you are. ICAST will return shortly with more intelligent radio. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to ICAST@nmblive.com. We'll return to the program after this.
Just what you need to make you feel.
Now, aren't you glad you didn't watch that made-for-TV movie? You are listening to ICAST, the intelligent radio broadcast on NMB Live. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to ICAST@NMBLive.com. Once again, your host is Norman Michael Burketta. All right, we are back with my guest, Jay Caliendo. Let me bring Jay back into the studio with us. Jay, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Fantastic. Okay, as promised, I have my wife right here in the studio, and she is going to, well, I guess you guys are going to do what you're going to do, and I'm just going to sit here and watch. So, go for it.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, what's your first name, ma'am?
Lorraine, but everyone calls...
I can't hear you.
Sorry. Lorraine, but everyone calls me Lori.
Can you spell it for me? Just spell Lori.
L-O-R-I.
L-O-R-I, okay.
Yes.
And if you don't mind revealing, what is your age, ma'am?
36.
Did you say 36?
Yes, I did. Don't repeat it anymore.
Was that 3-6?
Yes, 3-6. Okay, cut.
Oh, God. Well, you are the wife of Norm?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's good. tell me, did you have a specific question?
Yeah, I just didn't know how we were supposed to go about this. I've got a few different things ailing me, but there's one thing that I have a concern with that...
My only problem, Lori, is I just can't hear you.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to improve that, but...
Sorry, Jay. We're just rearranging things here.
Okay.
Hang on a second. In order for me to sound professional here, because you know that's the thing, eh? You don't have to be professional. You just have to sound
just
it.
Sound it. Is this any better?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
Yeah, that is better.
Okay.
So, whatever you think's the most important, just lay it out for me. You don't need to get too detailed, just tell me what the complaint is, you know, whether it's migraines or
talking oh my about God. It is actually, it's some kind of a headache.
Oh,
and,
okay. They say some kind of a headache. Have you been diagnosed with migraines or just headaches?
No one knows yet.
No one knows?
No one knows because it's come and gone for probably 15 years. And they seem to be cyclical, like a monthly cycle kind of headache, which normally for a lot of women means migraines. But my doctors don't believe that they're migraines because the headache isn't that bad. Like, it's very manageable. But it's the aura that's horrible and can go on for days.
What goes on for days?
The aura, like all of the other symptoms before the headache.
Uh-huh.
And,
You said this is, you think this is connected to your monthly cycle?
Well, I'm assuming just because there's always been kind of a regularity with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess during the time that I was having babies, I didn't have any headaches, but just as soon as I kind of had my son and he wasn't nursing and everything anymore, all of a sudden the headache started to come back. But they're unpredictable. Like, I won't get one every month. The last one I had started mid-November and went until Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty brutal.
Now, when you say that,
mm-hmm.
Started November and went through Christmas, are
yeah.
they chronic? Are they every day?
Well, that one was. That was, like, it would not break. It would not break whatsoever, and it affected...
You woke up with it and went to bed with it.
Yeah, it was nonstop. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So that's basically the question?
I mean, I have problems with my back with a herniated disc that affects my back and my hips and on one leg, but we're kind of treating that with anti-inflammatories and
right.
It's,
well, let's talk about
the
headaches
good.
Because they haven't been diagnosed.
Okay.
You know, and that's generally what we want to try and figure out for you tonight.
Yeah.
Your headaches. They're not hormone related. Okay,
well,
so let's.
Okay.
And now this, I talk with a lot of confidence, so. But,
okay.
You know, you're asking me for my opinion, so I give it to you straight.
Okay.
Regardless of what anyone may think, I would say they are not hormone related. They are not related to your cycle, not
okay.
in the sense of hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you look a little more. The headaches that you have are not specific in a location. They're a little more generalized in your head.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to say point to it, you wouldn't be able to.
No, that's right.
It kind of threw out your head. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say yes?
Yes, sorry. Yes, I did.
And you have the appearance of headaches that I think are, I think what's triggering them to some degree here, and as we go on, we'll get a little more narrowed down with it, but there is some relation between your headaches and your diet.
Okay.
I think there's some dietary foods or some foods that you're eating that you're not really compatible with.
Oh, okay.
What it's doing is almost giving you a symptom like allergies,
mm-hmm.
where people are exposed to certain pollens or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden they have an allergy attack.
Yeah, okay.
And that's kind of the same approach that you're having. You're having kind of a headache attack.
Mm-hmm.
Brought on by a couple things going on with you, but brought on by food, certain types of food. One is tomatoes. Another one is probably wheat or breads, flours. I don't think your body likes either one.
Oh, and I love them both.
Well, now that's a big advantage for you and I tonight. If you had said, gee, I never eat either one. But you said that you love both.
I do. I love pastas. I love breads. I love tomato sauces.
I don't think either one is good for you. And I don't mean, when I say not good for you, I don't mean it's going to give you a heart attack or put you in a hospital.
Yeah.
I mean that your body is rejecting it. Your body is not compatible with it. You don't like it.
Okay.
So those are a couple things that I would try to eliminate right from the get-go would be those types of foods.
Okay. So
beverage-wise, you look pretty good.
Okay.
You have a good tolerance for almost anything that you wish to digest from a beverage approach.
It's, mm-hmm.
it's more of a, not from a liquid, it's more from a solid.
Okay.
And it's those digestive solids that you're not liking. And they're triggering some of your nervous system a little bit.
Oh, okay. I never would have thought of that.
There's a little bit of stress in the base of your neck, and I'm sorry, in the base of your head.
Mm-hmm.
It does go down the neck. It radiates in the back of the neck. Now, some people could roll their eyes at that and say, "Oh, well, that's with all of us." It's not with all of us, but it's with a lot of us.
Yeah.
But the point is that it doesn't always affect us. A lot of us are very tolerant to it.
Okay.
We're used to that stress. We carry a lot of weight in our head, and so you know, it's as soon as you get stressed out, those muscles become tired.
Yes.
But a lot of us are more tolerant of it. That is a factor with you,
mm-hmm.
and it's shutting down a little bit in the back of the base of your head. I would say it's not T1. T1 is the thoracics. It's what do they call the neck?
I can't remember. I knew all of them, but I can't remember.
Lumbars, we have thoracics, and we have, it's escaped me.
In other words, you mean the top one, basically.
It is the first vertebrae in your neck.
Yeah.
Where the neck actually sits, where the head sits on the first vertebrae, where your occiput is.
Okay.
The occiput is kind of it almost serves as a where your head can rotate and move on it.
Uh-huh.
And that area is tight, but not because the occiput is locked or that first vertebrae is locked up or out of alignment. It's because of the muscles surrounding it.
Okay.
So you could use a little soft tissue work, a little massage work in the back of the neck. Lay face down,
mm-hmm.
with your head comfortably, with your face comfortably down into some, you know, like a lot of massage tables, they have that crease.
Yeah.
Where you can put your face straight down into it and have them work on the back of your neck.
Yes, yeah.
I would say very high in the base of the neck, where the hairline is at, besides that part of the back of the neck. You carry a lot of stress, a lot of tension in there.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is irritating, is let me back up. Part of that is causing the intolerance that you have for certain foods.
Oh, okay. So it's not a natural
but
intolerance.
What's causing that is a lack of nerve flow through the spine.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We have an enormous amount of, we have electrical, an enormous amount of electricity running through our spine.
Yes.
And yours is blocked a little bit at the base of the head and the top of the neck, right where the occiput and the first vertebrae meet.
Okay.
So what we would, what I would suggest that you do, and I never tell anybody what to do, and I certainly don't tell physicians. I just suggest a lot. So what I would suggest you do is talk to a practitioner about massaging that part of the head first,
mm-hmm.
part of the neck, right about where the brain stem is and the base of the back of the head,
mm-hmm.
and then the neck, upper part of the neck, and then down the back of the neck. Massage that, loosen up the soft tissue. Then you need a gentle adjustment to the occiput and first vertebrae. I wouldn't just adjust you without first loosening the soft tissue.
Okay.
That combination will free up some of your energy flow, your nerve flow,
mm-hmm.
that part of your head. And when those nerves are freed up, they will flow through your head better and allow you to have a higher tolerance for the foods that you love.
Okay.
If you really wanted to do a double whammy with this, I would do the approach to the treatment that I've suggested,
mm-hmm.
and I would eliminate the foods that I have suggested. That will just about give you headache, make you headache free.
Okay.
But if you have a love for certain foods and or whatever it might be, and we all do,
then
what would make you more tolerant would to have the adjustments that I suggested done.
Okay.
The treatment.
Okay.
And you probably find yourself a little more tolerant. The reason for you being probably coming and going with headaches,
mm-hmm.
that you're a little more tolerant with this when the climate is dry.
Oh, yes.
When your climate is moist, you're having a more difficult time.
Absolutely, yes.
The reason for
true.
That is probably a very simple reason, and that is that when there's moisture in the sky, it puts more pressure on the earth.
Okay.
I mean, water is heavy, and if there's water in the clouds, then you have pressure.
Yes.
And that pressure is sitting on top of your head. And that's just where we don't want it. Because
yeah.
that's just where your problem's at.
That's right. Yeah.
If we were to apply pressure to the top of your head, it would be putting pressure on the base of your head and the top of your neck, and we don't want that. We've already got it, and we don't want any more of it.
Yes.
So that's why you're probably a little less tolerant in the colder or in the more damper.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say damp weather certainly seems to have an adverse effect on it.
Well, that would
yeah.
be why.
Okay. Okay.
So, I don't see anything seriously wrong, but in fact, to be honest with you, kind of an easy fix.
Well, that's good, because the doctors are sure baffled, and they were, you know, considering looking into MS and things like that. Because,
you're saying what, ma'am?
Sorry, the doctors were considering looking into testing for MS.
Uh-huh.
Because they just couldn't figure out, you know, why won't the actual migraine medications work, and why won't regular, you know, analgesics work? And
right.
So.
Well, and to me, I think it's, I mean, to me, I sound like Mr. Know-It-All, and I'm not. But I would say, you know, there's no MS issues with you at all.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
No, there's no serious issues with you at all. I don't even think you have migraines. I do think that maybe in those damp months, you could borderline a migraine headache.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't fix this, what's preventing your migraines is your age. You're very young in age yet. But if we don't fix you in time, you could develop into a migraine.
Okay.
Because we're just not fixing the problem. We're not eliminating those irritations. We're not treating you. We're not doing anything. So
uh-huh.
The reason why the medication's not working is because it's not what's wrong with you.
That's right.
So that's why it's not working.
Okay.
Yeah. In my opinion only.
Okay. I'll certainly accept your opinion.
So I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you. It gives me something to go on anyway. I don't know how I'm going to give up my pasta. I could live on pasta like every day. So.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're wheat people here. So.
That's something. See, that's the one thing I think you should take a hard look at.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Well, that okay. So
Teach
that
yourself once a week.
Okay, I can do that.
Actually, yeah, I was going to ask that. So she'd be okay to do to have the occasional pasta then.
I'll tell you, Norm, if I could just lay it straight out for you, it would be best if she eliminated everything. If she doesn't, not everything, eliminate what I've asked her to eliminate. If she
right.
doesn't, it would be all right for her to go to it once a week, particularly in the drier months. In the wetter months, more damp months, it would be better if she would avoid it and just wait until things get dry. Then start treating herself. I wouldn't do it even once a week for about 30 days. I would just let's clean up the system a little bit. Let's eliminate some of these toxins that are not compatible to her. While we're doing that for the next 30 days, we're seeking out some treatment for the back of the neck as in the areas that I've asked, and then try it once a week and see whether or not it doesn't bring a headache or not. That would be my biggest suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to mention acupuncture would be all right for you, too. Some people aren't good with it. I think you would be. If you were specific with the acupuncturist, Lori, when you walk in to see these doctors
mm-hmm.
or these practitioners, be very specific with them.
Okay.
If you walk in and say, gee, I have headaches, honestly, I believe they need more than that.
Okay.
Because in working with acupuncturists, they'll say, oh, well, if you have a headache, that's this point right here, and they'll put a needle right on that point, where,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the thumb or, you know, between
yes.
the eyes, but they'll put a needle someplace where they know that eliminates headaches.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work for you.
Okay.
We need to be very specific about the area in which we need to treat.
Mm-hmm.
That will open up that energy flow, that nerve flow through the entire spine.
Okay.
And that's what you need. Because your spine looks pretty good. You've got pretty good energy flowing through it. It's when we get to the top of the neck is where we get blocked.
I could make a joke, but I'm not
yeah,
going to.
Yeah, it would be wise not to. It
would be very wise. Jay, one question going back to the massage. How important is it that she gets a massage from somebody who's qualified as opposed to, let's say, myself? Is it better for her to get somebody that really knows what they're doing in this case?
In massage?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, you could do it. I mean, you could rub the back of her neck, but in working soft tissue, and again, see, this isn't my forte, but in working soft tissue, there is a technique to it, and because you can bruise soft tissue if you
mm-hmm.
don't massage it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it would probably be in her best interest, and if you wanted to go with her and just watch it, then you might be able to adapt some of that to the house and just do it yourself. But the acupuncture is an absolute science. That is something only for the best to do.
Yes.
And the massage, probably you should probably see a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this for a couple reasons. One, because they're obviously better than someone who's not trained. But two, almost a little bit from a selfish standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
When I see what's wrong with you, I want you to get better, and I'm going to only recommend the best way.
Okay.
So I would recommend the specialist, those that know what they're doing, so that it guarantees us results.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have your neighbor do it who took a 16-hour course last week, you know, you might not get those results, and then you're going to say, oh, well, gee, Jay was wrong.
Yeah.
And when, in fact, I don't think so. I mean, it is possible now. I'm 89% accurate.
Okay.
I'm not 100. And there's always a 10%, 10, 11% room for margin of error,
mm-hmm.
and we should all understand that.
Yeah.
But I like to take my best shot with somebody, and
okay.
my best shot with you would be see the best, get treated by the best, and let's see how you feel.
Okay. Great. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
So I suppose the bill is in the mail, Jay? Oh, there you go. I thought for a second he wasn't laughing. I was starting to get worried.
I think I owe you, Norm. This is a beautiful interview. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Oh, well, terrific. So am I. We're having a lot of fun. And, you know, it's interesting because we have been, well, she's been fighting with this for years, just trying to figure out, you know, what is really the cause. And you said something that made a lot of sense to me. Well, that's why the medication's not working, because that's not your problem.
That's correct.
Yeah. Jay, how do people get a hold of you if they want a personal reading? This is here a few minutes for you to self-promote yourself.
Was the question, how do they get a hold of me?
Yeah, they wanted to do a reading just like this.
Yeah, well, I have a cost attached to it. I charge $120, American, or U.S. money anyways. And the reason for that, if I can briefly tell you, is that if you give it away, people do not invest in it.
Yeah.
They simply don't have an investment in it. They may do what you suggest. They may not. And I'm quite frankly, I'm just too busy for that. Number two, I almost use it as a discouragement, because I want those that really believe they need a reading to be able to get a hold of me and be able to get one. And if I'm just doing it for everyone, well, then I'm never available for those that really need me.
Right, right.
But you have that little bit of investment there, and I think for $120, people will listen to what you say. We're also going to be on the phone for an hour, and so I am you know, dedicating a good hour and a lot of focus and giving you my best shot at you, and so that's another reason for that. The way to get a hold of me is two ways, and I'll give you both. They can go straight to my email address, which is the J initial, and then the at symbol, medicalintuitive.com. Very simple to remember. It's J at medicalintuitive.com, and I'll answer their email within a few days. Or they can call me on my voicemail, leave me as many numbers as they can, so that I can get a hold of them as easily as I can. And please allow me a couple, 3 or 4 days to return those calls, only because of the volume of calls. But I will return all calls, and I won't forget them. And that number is 623-465-0130.
Okay, I'm just writing that down as well. I know I've got it, but I'm writing it down. So that's J, the letter J.
Yes, sir, just the initial J.
The initial J at medicalintuitive.com.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
And the phone number would be, dial your 1, of course, and then 623-465-0130.
That is correct. Now, my website is basically the same as well. It's just www.medicalintuitive.com. Just leave off the J at.
Right.
You'll go right to my website. It also tells them how they can order my book if they want it. And again, the reason for the book are many, but if they don't need a reading or would like to try the book first, they may find their answers in that book. And hopefully we can talk about that for a few minutes, too.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, when the top of the hour, we're going to take a break. Another one, then we'll come back, and we will address your book some more. I also wanted to mention, in terms of if for some reason you don't have a pencil and a paper in front of you tonight and you're going, oh, my gosh, what was the address again? As of tomorrow morning, you can go into the past guests page of our website at nmblive.com, and, of course, Jay's profile will be there, and as long as he's there, which, of course, will be from now on, his link will be active as well, so you'll always be able to get there from here, which is another good thing. Before we go to the break, obviously after the reading, Jay, like you have already told us, you sort of recommend steps for people to take, possibly, you know, the types of physicians to see. And then it's up to the individual, I guess, to go and just keep following your advice. Do you ever recommend sort of follow-up calls back to you to sort of...
Good question. Normally, I don't. Only because I don't think they need it. I think if they'll do what I've asked them to do in the order in which I've asked them, I'm confident they'll get better. Now, I love to hear from people. Either email me or, I mean, in Lori's case, email me or leave me a voicemail about the progress. I'd love to hear feedback, positive or negative. I just want to hear the feedback and see whether I do this work to help others. So I want to hear from you to see if I'm helping. But as far as doing a follow-up reading, normally they're not necessary. Only necessary if for two reasons. One would be if we've totally missed the mark, and honestly, that's not often. Or two, they've developed new symptoms about something else independent of what I spoke to them about earlier.
Okay.
Then, of course, we'd want to do another reading on that particular illness or symptom. But for the specific reason, like in Lori's case, headaches, we don't need to do a follow-up. I don't believe we do, but I would love to hear from her to see how she's doing.
Yeah, we will keep in touch, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'll even be as bold as to say that I'd like you back on the program in the future. So we can sort of, you know, wrap up everything up then, too.
I would never say no. I appreciate that very much. Love to come back.
Finding the doctors now. Here's another question that some people may have. I've got the reading. I've been given some information. I've taken some notes. I think of a better understanding of what's wrong with me or what's ailing me. Now, how do I know when I go out there to these practitioners? How do I know who's going to take the reading seriously? Is that a concern?
I
think it is.
Kind of a direct answer. It is and it isn't. It's a concern to me because I'm only a piece of the puzzle. I am not your answer. I am only a piece of the answer. And so we need physicians and practitioners to be understanding and open-minded and willing to listen to what I've suggested.
Right.
And that's getting to become more and more every day. It really and truly is. And we need those people to complete that puzzle so that individuals like Lori can get better. I can't do it all and wouldn't know how. So we do need to each other to complement each other.
Right.
On the other hand, the flip side to that answer is that I've done my part. I've done what I can do for Lori. There's no more left for me to do.
Right.
And when I hang up, I've pretty much forgotten about that reading. And incidentally, that's not deliberate. God has blessed me with the ability to instantly read people, as I've done for Lori, but I also have this ability, for some reason, to forget that reading very fast. I write everything down. If I don't write it down, as I'm telling in this particular example, if I don't write down what I told Lori, I will forget it.
Wow.
As quick as I read it. And I think that's pretty much just a way of protecting me.
Yeah, sounds like it's a way to keep yourself clear for the next reading.
It keeps my sanity. I mean, you can lay in bed at night and think of people who are very sick. And I mean, I've read people with diseases. I've read people that have had three diseases. Now, how's that possible? You know, but they are. There's some very sick people out there, and my heart goes out to them, and I have such a compassion for them that it would drive me crazy if I was to remember everything I saw.
Yeah.
So as I see it, I forget it very quickly, and that's how the book came about. I wrote everything down, and then I had a lady call me and wanted to publish it, so we did it.
All right. Well, more about your book, The Way I See It, Health Readings from the Man with X-Ray Vision, when we come back. We're going to take a short break, Jay.
All right, sir.
And when we come back, more with Jay Caliendo. Don't go anywhere. We've got another hour left, and it's going to be a good one.
Get it. Feel the funk, y'all.
Stay right where you are. ICAST will return shortly with more intelligent radio. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to icast@nmblive.com. We'll return to the program after this.